So, wonderful. All right, what was the name of this class again? Endure Hardships. And so you guys are here because you're enduring hardships, or you expect to endure hardships? Yes. Just yes. Exactly. That's the, the fun and not so fun thing about life is that hardships are unavoidable. We will go through them whether we like it or not, whether we plan for it or don't plan for it. There's always something that just kind of just pops up, surprises us out of nowhere. And so what is it? This is kind of the question that we are going to be discussing today. What is it that makes the difference between someone who experiences suffering or hardship and ends up refined, as opposed to somebody who experiences hardship or suffering and falls to pieces? What makes the difference? You know, I know for me, I think many other people like this, you sometimes start trying to follow God with the expectation that just becoming a Christian, becoming a disciple, will just instantly wipe all of your problems away. It will just fix everything, miraculously, like just some sort of like magic bean pill. And yet, that doesn't always happen. And then when we realize that that's not the case, we realize that suffering is just a part of life, as we were talking about before. It's easy for us to get disheartened, discouraged, to feel like God is not with us, that God no longer cares about us, right? That God, the Jesus that suffered for us on the cross, well, is he still suffering for me while I'm suffering? Does he even care? Does he see me? Does he notice me? I think what I've come to realize, and this might be a little discouraging way to start off, but there are some circumstances, there are some situations that may never get, quote unquote, better in the sense that we want them to get better. And I think what is amazing, and this is really what we're going to hone into today, is that even if our circumstances don't change, we can. And the way that we perceive them. Because it's not the situation itself that causes us harm. Right? It's really just like, oh, that person punched me. Yes, you feel the pain afterwards. But a lot of times the things that stick with us, right, the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not true in any way, shape, or form. It's actually the words and the things like that stick with us far longer. And so it's not necessarily the experiences itself. Like, words are just words. But a lot of times it's the way that we perceive them, and it's the emotions that we attach to them that make the difference. I think that's something that I think it'd be hard for us to wrap our minds around, because sometimes even little things, right, like you move somewhere or you get a bad grade on a test, and it just messes with your head and can totally destroy you. I think sometimes, like, you know when you go through something, there's those moments where you're like, I should not, like, this should not affect me as much as it is. Yeah. Like, I should not be feeling this right now. Or something really big happens and you're like, well, somebody died, I should be feeling something now, right? I should be distraught. I should be falling apart, but I'm not. And so you're sitting there and you're like, you're torn between, well, what this perception of what you feel you should feel and what you actually do. You know, none of that really matters, though. What matters is Christ. And so really what we're going to be talking about is going from crisis mode to Christ is mode. From crisis to Christ is. Let's open up to Philippians chapter 3. I'm sure many of us have that question. Why? Why is this happening? Why is God allowing me to suffer? Well, it picks up in Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, to become like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Wow. And so we see Paul, who's the writer of Philippians, as he's going through this list of things that has happened or things that he's accomplished in his life. And he actually has a very impressive resume of all these ways that he is just so spiritual and godly and all these wonderful things. And so he looks at that list and he says, you know what? That list is garbage. It doesn't matter. It's trash. It's waste. I think, you hear that. And to me, that's really encouraging. Because whether or not our past is filled with good things or bad things, they're garbage compared to knowing Christ. Yep. And it's like, wow, God has opened a door for us to have a fresh start in him, to know him, that our past does not have to control us. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because it's not that God's will is necessarily for us to suffer. Right? God's just like, I'm just going to throw a lightning bolt at this guy today. Like that's not necessarily how it works, but God is able to bring good out of a bad situation. He's able to use it for our good. And so sometimes you sit there and you think, I have to go to this. God, how are you trying to use this for my good? How are you trying to help me to know you? To become close to you. And as I've sat and reflected on some of the suffering and hardships in my own life, I think one of the things that I've walked away with is that during times of suffering, during the times that I feel so weak, like I'm falling apart, there are things that I am able to accomplish in that state that I would never be able to accomplish when I feel like I'm strong. And so if you're in here and you're suffering today, if you're in pain, if you're just feeling like, I have no idea what God is doing, I think part of it is just assuming that God has you in this state because there's something that you can learn about him. Some way that you can connect with him in a new way. Some way that's going to help you connect with others. Right, you ever notice that? Like when you're going through something, you're in just a tremendous amount of pain, and then you want to connect with somebody who understands that, someone who gets that. And so Jesus, one, he is that for us, but at the same time, we're able to be used by him because we're in a place where we know we cannot do it on our own. We know the only way we will make it through whatever we're going through is if we cling on to Jesus. And so sometimes I believe God has put me in places where I am weak because he knows that that is what is going to drive me to grab him, to cling to him, so that nothing, nothing will stand between us. And so Carrie is going to come and she's going to share a little bit about how suffering has helped her cling to God.
Hi, I'm Carrie. I want to start off by saying if anyone in here is suffering right now, and I can assume that you guys came to this class because you suffered or you're suffering or you just want to know how to handle what you're going through. And I just want to start off with saying I'm sorry that you're going through these things. And I know we all have our share of hardships and our struggles. I don't want you guys to feel belittled in what you're going through, but just know that there is a specific reason of why you're going through these things. And I want to share with you guys a story near and dear to my heart of when I learned how to be in Christ is mode. Genius. So, I don't know if some of you know, and I have some of my really close friends in here that know my story. So I'm going to start off. My suffering actually is my testimony, and it's how I came to God, which is pretty awesome and weird to think about sometimes. So let me backtrack. I played soccer at Syracuse University in my freshman year, but I ended up transferring for a number of reasons. I was a freshman and I was starting. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I had an injury, it wasn't too bad, but I was out for a couple weeks, and I couldn't get back into it. Like, I mentally broke down, and I was just, like, having a really hard time. And then my good friend from high school committed suicide, and I was, like, so done. I was like, I can't. I don't want to play anymore. I went to practice, and I was like, don't give me the ball. I was like, let me be the water girl. Like, I couldn't do it. So then my coaches told me that if I don't perform, because it was so cutthroat, like, the high-level D1 was horrible. We walked around with heart rate monitors, like, went to Thanksgiving and had to put our heart rate monitors on to work. It was crazy. So my coaches told me that if I don't perform, then they're going to strip my scholarship away. That's what happened. I had a full ride there. So I couldn't afford to stay there. So they're like, you need to find a place to play. And I was so depressed. It was so bad. I wanted to fall down the stairs and break all the bones in my body so I didn't have to go to practice. And it was just really bad. I was in the darkest place ever in my life. And I didn't know God at that time. So I was emotionally just wrapped up in this dark ball of, like, darkness. Like, it was so hard. So I went to Albany to play, and it was awesome, kinda, I guess. Well, my first month into playing, I was there, you know, transfer, whatever, and it was cool, but this one night, it was a Tuesday night, it was a night game, and if any of you are familiar with soccer, I'm a forward, so I'm supposed to score goals and stuff like that. So I was running onto the ball that was played through, like, center midfielder, and I'm running onto it, and I'm going for it, and I'm looking up, and this goalie, the goalie on the other team is this huge, like, Amazon woman. She's huge, guys, like, she was huge, and I'm running, and I'm like, what am I doing? And, you know, I grew up playing with boys, so I was like, I'm going for this, and I was like, don't hesitate, you're gonna get hurt. So I'm going for it, and I just wanted to get to the ball right before she did. And we get there, and it was like, bam! Like, this loudest sound ever. I went flying in the air. I landed down on the ground, and I grabbed my leg. And I felt something really sharp in my hand. And I was like, I broke my leg. I was like, help! Like, screaming. And people, I was looking at people running towards me, and they'd be running, and they'd be like, oh. Like, you know, I was like, what? You know, like, I didn't know what was going on. So I was laying there for a while, and it was a night game, it was freezing, and one of my friends came over, and she's like, don't look at it. And I was like, what? What? So fast forwarding from that moment, it was just a horrific night. It was horrible. The ambulance, I was on the stretcher, the wheels hit the bottom of the thing, my head went flying into the door, and I was like, who does that? It was so bad. Went over a curb, and I was like, and they couldn't find my veins, so I didn't have morphine that whole time. So it ended up happening, keep you guys in suspense, but I broke my leg, but I don't like saying break, it was like a massacre. It was like, I don't know how it happened, it was a freak accident. But it broke into four pieces, and they're all going in different directions. So, and I think it, this is what they think, it didn't break the skin because I squeezed it back with my hands. I don't know. It's one of the crazy things you do when you're suffering, right? So from then on, it was horrible. My friend that was there on my team, she told me when they put it back in place, it was like an exorcism, she said. She said that my back was like up in the air, and I don't remember. I fainted. But I woke up. I woke up from that experience. And the surgeon was there, and he said it so, like, without any empathy at all. He was like, if the swelling does not go down in your leg, we are amputating your right leg. And I'm sitting there, like, looking at my coach, looking at my friend, and then he leaves, and I was like, like, going crazy. My mom wasn't there. I was like, what is going on? And in that moment, I was like, God, what? Like, stripped me from my scholarship, left all my friends. This is what I've been training for all my life. How can you do this to me? Like, are you even real? Like, you're punishing me. I hate you. You hate me. Like, it was just horrible. And I was like, please don't take my leg. Like, please don't take it. So I went to surgery, and I woke up, and my leg was still there. I was like, the best feeling ever. But in that moment, I was like, okay, I need to know who God is. Yeah. And you know, in that moment, it was like, I feel like, and I know all of you can relate to this, in the way of suffering either like pulls us to God or strips us from God. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I just had enough. I was like, I need to know him. But the only reason I know that I needed him also was because my roommate somehow was studying the Bible at the same time that this was happening. Which was so God. So I know that I needed a relationship with him. I saw her relationship with him, and I needed it. I needed him to heal me. I was done trying to heal and know myself in my own ways, if any of you guys can totally relate to that. So I asked her to show me how to have a relationship with him. And the intense suffering that I had drew me to God. And I took that and I ran to him. I was like, this suffering, I can't anymore. It's funny because I think about all the previous pain that I've had in my life, all the suffering that I've been through, and I think about other people, and whenever we're going through something, if you have a relationship with God or not, everyone prays. You guys ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Like, wait, you believe in God? You know, it's like something horrible, they're suffering, and everyone just prays. I don't even know what they think about it. And it's like everyone does have eternity on their hearts, and they do want to know God, and they cling to him in their suffering. I don't know if people believe that their suffering is going to be taken away, or if they just want that comfort, but that's what I needed. I needed the comfort. So my best friend in the world, she studied the Bible with me, and the more that I learned about Jesus, and the more I learned how he suffered, the more I accepted my pain and my suffering. But the more important thing was I had this intense connection with Jesus, like out of this world connection with him. And when I got to the medical account of Jesus, while I was studying Bible and crucifixion, I was like, yep, I want to follow him. Like me, I want to be a disciple. I don't know if you guys ever looked at the medical account of him, but it broke you down into basically everything that was going on. And long story short, in the hospital, they're unwrapping a gauze in my leg, and a muscle got stuck to the gauze, and a nerve was attached to it. And I saw it. It was white, and it was really tiny, and it was. I would rather break my leg 10 more times than that pain. It was absolutely horrible, and it was little, and it was like a millisecond long, and I was like holding on to the bed. I was like, like, everyone came running in. Like, the nurse's face was pale white that did it. I don't know if he got fired or something. I didn't see him after that. So, the thing is, though, the body's, the worst pain that your body can endure is nerve exposure. It's extremely painful and very sensitive. And I had it, and it came out. I still have a big lump on my leg. If anyone puts their hand over, I'm like, you know, I can't touch the skin around it. I get electrical shock down my foot. I don't feel the inside of my foot at all. So that was funny trying to play soccer again. But that's the thing, though. Jesus had that same nerve pain, and he had it on his back. And not only did he just get touched with a little gauze, he got whipped. And then he was on a cross, so that was like on his back. Like, I just can't. At that moment, I was like, and the other thing that was crazy is that I did not choose that. that pain, and if someone was like, Carrie, would you have that pain again? Nope. Was it for your friend? Nope. Like, I would not go through that again. It was horrible. And Jesus chose to go. He knew what he was doing. You know, he chose to do that. And I was like, what? I would never go through that again. And you're not suffering because he doesn't love you. Like, he proved that, and he will continue to prove that. That he continues to prove that he loves you, and he can help you through anything because he gets it. When someone else gets what you're going through, it's like so much easier. And the thing that makes me so sad is that sometimes we feel like we're doing this on our own. Like, all the suffering, you think of what's going on in your life right now, or something that has gone on in your life right now, like, I bet you probably might think that you're going through this alone. But Jesus knows exactly what you're feeling, exactly what you're thinking, and he's been through it. And I know we're all going through stuff, and that we might think that God can't help us, but again, suffering can take you in or pull you out. And you get strong when you let God help you through it. So I needed to connect to him somehow through my pain. Like, I needed to connect to him. I wanted to take that route to, like, that led to straight to Jesus' feet, so I can connect with him through all my pain, my hurt, my suffering, my depression, my anxiety, my loneliness. And he knows what it's like to cry out with tears and to pray with loud cries. And he feels you as he hurts along with you. So now I don't say, like, why me anymore? Because if I didn't break my leg, guys, like, I would not be standing here right now. I would not have ran to God. I would not. So sometimes I'm like, I would go. If people are like, if you can flash back in that moment right now, would you go? I'm like, yeah, I would. As horribly painful as that would be, I would totally do it again and again and again. He used my suffering to show me that I was broken. And I come to him, especially when I saw my x-ray. I was like, whoa, I'm really broken, like physically, spiritually, emotionally. He used my suffering to draw me to him and to grow. He used my suffering also to glorify himself. I played soccer a year and a half after that. I only lasted a week, and I had to get surgery again. But I made it. And now I'm training for a half marathon. They told me I was never going to run. And God is being glorified through that suffering that I had. And if you guys can think about where you're going through, how can you glorify God in your suffering? But he also used me to be relatable. And I understand people's pain, which is, I think, is an amazing thing. And before I let TJ speak, this is an amazing moment that I had. So my good friend, who is in here, McKinley.
Oh, McKinley.
Yeah. We're in Albany together in the campus ministry in Albany, and he broke his leg in the same way that I did. And it's extremely rare, very rare injury, and it was just crazy how it all happened. But I would crave to go to the hospital to see him because I knew what he was going through. I just wanted to be there with him, and I wanted to connect with him. And multiple times we were in there, and he was like, all right, everyone get out but Carrie. And I'm like, what? And it was amazing. We would just sit there, and he would just, the way that he just craved my company, because I knew everything he was feeling. I knew everything he was thinking. I knew everything he was feeling. I knew his concerns. I knew his desire. Like, he was like, what? And did you have this feeling? And am I going to feel this? Is this okay? Like, is this normal? And okay. Like, and he was just so peaceful. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, I need to be like this with Jesus. I'm not like this with him, with my suffering, or just in general. That connection, like, I flip, like, flip-flopping it, that we need to cling to him like that. We need to find our connection with him like that. It's the only way we're going to get through these things, because he knows exactly what we're feeling. He's not going to necessarily take it away, but he's going to help us endure it. So that's what I really want to share with you guys today.
Thank you, Carrie. Yeah, I think she shares some incredible points. a big part of it is God is giving us a wealth of positive and negative experiences. And so he wants us to use those experiences to bring him glory. Whether it's through serving someone else, connecting, comforting, helping someone who's going through what you're going through, or allowing other people into your life. Right? Sometimes when we suffer, we just put up the walls. We don't want anyone in. We don't want anyone to know. We don't want anyone to see us in our pain because we're afraid that we'll just look weak, or that if we face it, we won't be able to stand it. We won't be able to hold to it. I think one of the things that is incredible, though, is though although we may not decide or get to decide how we feel about a given circumstance, we can decide how it defines us. We can decide what will define us. Right? If you go through something like this, Carrie used her leg. She chose how it defined her. She could have sat, she could have wallowed, she could have gone away from God, but she said, you know what? God is calling me to him through this. God wants me to know him through this. And right, sometimes we want to sit there and we want to throw the pity party, right? Oh, it's never going to get better. My life is horrible. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God is calling us to something else. Let's not miss out on the lessons that God is trying to teach us through the suffering that we have. And so the verses continue in verse 12. In Philippians it says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of you who are mature, all of us then who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Let us only live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. It's amazing we see in here that in all of this, whatever we go through, Jesus is in control. God is in control because all things are subject to Jesus's authority. Now, reading this, there was a verse that I had trouble with, that I did not want to be in this passage. You want to take a guess at which part it was? It was the forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You ever had somebody tell you, just get over it? Just move past it. You know, stop thinking about it. Just go forward. I remember one time I shared that. I said that, you know, I shared something with my dad. I was like, Dad, I'm just really going through this right now. I'm thinking about it. And he's like, that's in the past. Just let it go. And I was like, I held my temper because I've really had some other words that I wanted to say to him. And I ended up saying, Dad, if I could, I would have already. Maybe you've been there before. Where you're desperately trying to put something behind you, but you just feel like, I'm stuck. I can't get over this. And I shouldn't. I know it happened 3 years ago. It happened 10 years ago. It happened when I was a child. But I can't get it out of my head. And half of it's not even our, you know, some of the stuff that we go through. You know, we have people who are abused or broke, you know, come from a broken home or some other trauma happens. Like they break their leg and it's not, you're like, this is not even my fault. And here I am left having to pick up the pieces. God, how do I move forward? You know, I find interesting is that Paul, it's not like Paul forgot the past. Right? He says of himself, he says, I am the worst of all sinners. He remembers. It's there. It's a part of his life. But it forced him to rely on God. And I think what's cool is that sometimes we don't even know why we act the way that we do, right? Like sometimes there are things that we've experienced or gone through that have affected us in ways like when you try to even just become like really close friends with somebody or you become interested in someone and you want to have a relationship with them, right? It's like these things come up where you're like, oh no, I'm afraid of being close to someone. I'm afraid of letting people in. And so what's great is we don't even have to know where something comes from to move forward, to work on it, to grow. And I understand sometimes, you know, like sometimes you're in the midst of something and you need a minute to catch your breath, right? Like, have you ever been there where somebody's like trying to force you to go forward and to like, but you're like, I'm not ready for that right now. I emotionally, I can't handle it. I can't face this. It's too painful. And sometimes so there is some wisdom to that, right? Because sometimes when you delve into a problem, what you end up doing is you're actually like digging for a landmine, right? You're digging up something that could just explode in your face. So you need to be delicate with it, right? You need to be careful as you navigate through the emotions that you're feeling with some of the suffering that's going on. But one thing that I love about this passage is that it talks about here, it says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. You know, whereas our emotions are understandable, that does not make the actions that accompany them okay. Right? If we just walked around just living and doing whatever we felt was okay, well, I'm emotional right now, so I can curse you out. I'm emotional right now, so I can just be mean to you and be rude and push you off. No, our emotions are never, never an excuse for sin. And I think that's something that we need to hold on to. Even as we're in the midst of working through our emotions and whatever we're feeling, we cannot let it be an excuse to just do and live however we want. Because that is just going to make matters worse for us. It's actually going to harm our lives instead of lead us to Christ. You know, sometimes we do this because as we don't want to accept it, we're just trying to go back to the way things were before. Before we had the trauma, before we had the suffering that happened. But we can't go back, right? Have you ever tried to go back? You can't. You've had that experience. All we can do is, and then this is the wisdom of the passage here, all we can do is move forward. That's something I've learned as you sit there and as I've wrestled with this. I'm like, man, I can't be the person that I used to be because the things that I've gone through have made me into someone new. And so I need to decide, where do I want to go from here? Who do I want to be in the future? Where do I see myself going? Do I want to keep heading down this path of denial, this path where I just let my stomach, my desire, rule all of my actions? Or do I want to be like Christ? Do I want to live in line with his will for my life? You know, have you just hit that point where you're like, I've had enough of trying to do this without Jesus? I've had enough of doing it that way. It doesn't work. God, I need you. I want to be with you. And one of the most helpful things as we get ready for a landing here is he talks about, he says, remembering what is ahead. Remembering what is ahead. The cool thing about the Christian life is there's this tension where it's like, well, we're with God, but we're not really with him yet. Right? We like, oh, we're so close to heaven, but we're not there. We don't, all the pain, the suffering isn't gone. It's like, oh, so close, but I'm not there yet. And this is a good thing. Because as Carrie was sharing, as when we have a goal, when we have something that we know that we're working towards, you know, for us, we think about the greatest blessing that we can have in our life is being like Christ and being with Christ. And as we keep that goal in mind, it helps us in our times of suffering to know him. It allows us to be content in this life no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're feeling. Because we can, because whether or not, and this is how I felt. And this is the sad. It's sad too at the same time. We may never be where we want to be. We may never get to that place. But what is so encouraging is when you follow God, when you trust him, when you surrender to him, one of two things will happen. You either A, overcome this struggle. Overcome whatever you're feeling and the suffering, and you will be victorious over it, and God will be glorified. Or you will die before you do, and you will go to heaven, and you will not care because you'll be with God. So ultimately, in all of this, right, the suffering that we go through, as we close out, the suffering that we go through is to lead us to Christ. It's to help us to understand him. That's the greatest joy, the greatest glory that we can ever experience. And to do that, we have to let go of what is behind and strain towards what's ahead. So here's my challenge. Is I know that maybe you're thinking, right, as we were talking about before, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I can take a step forward. And sometimes, you know, I look and I just think, man, this is where I am. This is where I know I need to be. That's an insurmountable difference. So what do? Well, I think, you know what? This is where I am right now. What is one half step, a half step forward to get me to where I want to be? God, I'm not even strong enough for a full step. I'm not even strong enough for a full step. We had a Bible study like 2 weeks ago with this guy who literally, he said, my half step is every day I read one verse of the Bible, I'm going to read two. That was his half step. And wherever you are, you can take a half step forward. But it does take an intentional decision on your part to say, you know what, I'm not going to let this rule my life. Even if I can't move to where I want to be yet, I'm going to take a half step in the right direction. Because every step closer that I am to God, I know I'm better off for. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dad, we are so encouraged to be able to have a relationship with you. Thank you that you understand us. That you understand our suffering, and we want to be close to you. We want to know you. We know that there is no greater joy than being close to you. We do not want to live as enemies of the cross of Christ. We want to live as your sons, as your daughters, because we know that you are where all goodness, truth, and love lies. That you can see us through any difficulty, any challenge, no matter what happens. Because we want, God, we want to be with you. We know that you are in control. And we believe, God, we look forward to when you transform our lowly bodies into glorious and heavenly bodies to be like you, with you, in you. Let us press on towards this goal one half step at a time. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.